You're listening to Power Producers Shop Talk, where we are refining and redefining the sales game by equipping you with the tools you need to differentiate yourself in the marketplace.
Well, it's like when we audit the mod with Magic and give them the action items that they're going to use to lower their total cost of risk.
Tactical skills that will help you provide deliverable value to your clients and prospects.
Technology is not an expense, it's an investment. Look at what ThinkHR has done for our clients and even our team. It's an amazing product, and I'm so thankful we have that.
And action items that you can provide to take your prospects and clients to the next level.
Things are changing for us in 2021. Not all big business anymore. Now that we have CoverWallet on our team, it's amazing that we're going to be able to write small business profitably.
This is Power Producer Shop Talk. Production redefined. Are you ready to feel the power?
Power Producers, Shop Talk Nation, what is going on? We dodged a hurricane this week. We won the Stanley Cup.
Let's go.
Dude, I don't even know what else we could, like, what you else know, could happen in
I'd
Tampa
like
right
point,
now?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. The Rays could figure it out and maybe get lucky.
Hey, speaking of which, you may know the answer to this. What happened with that no hitter that they threw? Why was the game called at seven innings? Is it because the storm was coming or something? I was in Columbus.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I thought that there was some sort of thing that they were trying out this year that was like a seventh inning, like seven inning situation. Maybe I don't know. It wasn't a doubleheader, right?
So if you, yeah, it was a doubleheader.
Oh, that's
I
why.
So the second game.
I don't know. They were trying something.
It's only seven innings? What is this, Bloomingdale
like,
Little League?
Yeah, right. It's I feel like I remember that. I don't follow it too closely until the playoffs.
God, next thing you know, they're going to have the Tom Miller. Yeah, next thing you know, they're going to have the Tom Miller State Farm patch on the left arm. I mean, come on, guys. Freaking pros for crying out loud.
Well, and they changed the extra innings thing too, where like a runner starts on second base or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to get caught up with all the crap they're doing to the game I love so much.
I enjoy playoff baseball because it's different. It's just like playoff basketball, but I don't watch too much.
And playoff hockey. I will go ahead and throw this out there. Playoff hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that goes without saying with me wearing my Bolts hat like every single day, but I feel like hockey's more entertaining. It's tough for me to sit there and watch a regular season Rays versus Red Sox game. Playoffs, different story.
Yeah.
There's 162 games. It's too much. It's like, we're going to play them another 20 times throughout the course of the season. So why am I watching this one?
You know what? I would agree that 162 games is too much.
Absurd.
They need to pare that season down a little bit. And I think that you would keep people from getting hurt so bad.
Exactly.
Or hurt
so often. You create longevity for your aces and all those guys who are throwing the ball 100 miles per hour every time. And I don't know. It's always been tough for me to get into it like that. I love going to the games, but it's hard to sit there and watch a regular season baseball game on a Wednesday night. But since we have started the podcast, basically all the Tampa teams have been crushing it. So you're welcome, Tampa Bay.
TB12, what's up, man? Yeah, I mean, come on, Brady. Quit chucking ornamental symbols of championships around the river and come on TPP one time. See what happens.
Man.
Hey, TB, come see you down with TPP? Yeah,
down
you know me.
What are we
come
talking
on,
about?
Man. Well, this, yeah, we left off the last one. Yeah, we left off the last one and I called you out, man. You had your swan song, your career performance on the last episode of Shop Talk. And so we threatened
I'm basically Aikman and you're Joe Buck. That's what the deal is.
I will never
things.
Be Joe Buck to you. Never.
If
you're going to make me a commentator, at least let me be Gruden on his Monday Night Football run.
I mean, that is tough to beat. I just meant it from an operational standpoint of how this thing works. But anyhow.
Yeah, so we're talking about breaking down the gatekeeper, man. I've got some good ones.
Okay.
I know a little bit about that, too, even though I don't flex it that often, but I've got some good ones and some ones that –
Well, it's a crucial thing, right?
Yeah, and some of the stuff that I use that I learned from Chris Voss, I can even use on my kids.
Perfect.
Like, it works. It's universally applicable. So Yeah, I mean, look, we're going to do the next episode on marketing drops, so it's probably better to go ahead and talk about breaking down the gatekeeper first.
Yeah.
That way people are ready when they hear that uber motivating marketing drop episode we're going to do next. And they're ready to break it down.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the most important thing is just being able to relate with them quickly. Like, especially, I always go back to, you know, my experience with selling office supplies B2B. I mean, that was all I was doing, right? But the gatekeeper was like the most important person, because they're the ones who are going to get us to the decision maker. So you have to win those people over. And I found that, you know, a couple things are crucial in doing that. Number one, you have to walk in like you're supposed to be there. I always remember like guys on my team that were new, and, you know, myself when I was new, you know, just being a little bit unsure of what to do. And as you grow, you get more comfortable, but you gotta walk in like you're supposed to be there from the jump. Because otherwise they're going to, okay, this person's here to sell me something. I need to shut them down. That's exactly what the gatekeeper's thinking, because that's what their job is. But if you walk in like you're supposed to be there and you're the person that, you know, greets them first, especially with, you know, with a smile, like you could, that was huge, man, because like we would walk into 40, 50 businesses, and maybe the business before I just took a bunch of no's to the face, and I was a little bit, you know, not discouraged, but a little bit, you know, thrown off. You've got to walk into the next building, you know, business like nothing happened. You got to smile. You got to be the first person to ice break.
How awesome would it be if I were to make it a company expense and buy all producers tap dancing shoes? So that when, and the subsequent lessons to go with said shoes, so that when you walk in, you just start scatting in the lobby.
Click clacking around. That would definitely you know, get you noticed for sure.
That'd be so epic. But you know, I was thinking about this too. One thing that I've done in the past, and this actually speaks to the point of, you know, acting like you're supposed to be there, or mm-hmm. walking in like you're supposed to be there. You know, if we've got the ability, number one, we all have the ability to get a company's address. So if we know who the decision maker is, one thing I used to do this is send them a handwritten note. You know, find something that happened in that company over the course of the last month. Send them a handwritten note congratulating them. Let them know, hey, I'm going to be in your area in the next couple of weeks. I'll make it a point to stop by. I'd like to shake your hand and just introduce myself. Mm-hmm. And then if you have the email, do the same thing, right? Hey, I'm going to be in your area next Tuesday. I'm going to swing by and just want to shake hands and introduce myself to you and whatever, right?
Yeah.
So when you walk into the lobby, you know, let's just say I'm going to meet Steve as the decision maker. You walk into the lobby, the decision maker's there and said, hey, I'm here to see Steve. I told him I'd swing by today around 2:00.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's great for when you have that information, when you,
until Steve has no clue who you are. Right.
Right.
But if the gatekeeper comes back, say, oh, well, we had sent him an email and let him know, and also had sent him something in the mail. Maybe refresh his memory quick, right?
Yeah.
Then
sure.
If Steve says no, okay, fine. Steve, you know, we're not going to meet today, you know, but I could say, well, listen, is there a time that's better? I don't want to go back and forth with you through this. Just if you don't mind, one more time, say, hey, is there a time he can pick up the phone and call you? You guys can talk. Then you can get him on the phone and conduct some level of a conversation, right?
Yeah,
but
so
I think part of it is the confidence, right? Walking in. Like,
yes.
You probably don't even need to send the email or the written thing. You could just walk in. Like, there was a time in my life where I would send out a bunch of direct mail, and then I would go places and say, hey, I sent you this thing in the mail, and they would never have read it. They probably just scrapped
garbage
it immediately.
Yeah.
So I just quit sending them, and I'd still walk in and say, hey, I sent you that thing in the mail last week.
Right. Exactly. You know, and that's the whole going in with the mentality that you're supposed to be there thing. I think what you touched on is good if you have the information, if you know who the decision maker is already. But a lot of times when we're doing the drops, we're trying to get that information from the gatekeeper. So we've got to win them over and get them to like us in order to get that information. For you know, for me, that always started with ice breaking, even if it was just something cheesy like happy whatever day of the week it is. You have to make them smile or something. If you can point out something that's in their business, like, I mean, there's times where you walk into a business and they've got something really cool sitting up front, and you're like, man, you know, you can use that as a way to just kind of start the conversation. But I really truly think that the indifference in all of it is key. Like, nobody wants that commission breath salesperson coming in trying to talk to them. Like, you've got to be indifferent, you know, when you're having these conversations, especially when you're trying to get the information from the gatekeeper in regards to who you're supposed to actually speak with on everything. So icebreaking's huge. I mean, it's not comfortable by any stretch. It's weird. It's not, like, definitely not something in my, you know, normal everyday life or comfort zone that I would do. But, hey man, when you're trying to get in, you got to kind of pull out all the stops. So icebreaking's big. You know, especially if there's, you just kind of have to be aware of like your surroundings. Like, look at things when you're walking into the building, you know, stuff that you can kind of comment about. You know, I would try to pull things from the actual environment to kind of start that discussion.
Like, hey, is that your Porsche out there in the parking lot?
Sick Porsche. Yeah. Right.
Something like that. It, you know, saw the right license plate as it was driving away. Did your husband drop you off today or somebody just steal your car? I mean, you know, you could be any number. It's crazy. You could do any number of things, but you're 100% right. I mean, it's a matter of getting in there. And the other thing is hit them with the unexpected, right? It goes back to the feel, felt, found thing that we talked about before. They're not taking people today. Hey, perfect. I understand. You know, I mean, just immediately.
Perfect. So, and that's part of the indifference. That's part of the indifference that I was talking about too. If you're like, yeah, perfect. Totally understand. You know, weren't expecting me. I just stopped by because I was in the neighborhood. Really just looking to introduce myself to the person who's handling that for you guys. It's 2 seconds. Not a big deal. Like that makes them, you know, again, kind of drop their guard a little bit and allows them to relate with you on a person-to-person level versus this is somebody just coming into my business trying to sell something. I will say the follow-up to all of that is making sure that you get that gatekeeper's name, because if you go back, it does wonders for your game if you can address them by their name. You know, if I come back and I'm like, hey, David, what's up, man? Good to see you again. I know I stopped by a couple weeks ago and I was trying to introduce myself to Bob, you know, but he was in the middle of a meeting. I was just next door with so-and-so and figured I'd pop back in real quick and just, you know, see if he had a couple seconds to, you know, to touch base.
Yeah, but think about what you did right there. Number one, you called her by name or him by name, whoever the gatekeeper is. You also addressed the decision maker by name, but then you instantly established credibility for your being there by saying, I was next door with so-and-so, who they may or may not know, but they're at least going to know who their neighboring business is.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden you're home free. But I think one thing that's important too, I mean, like when you talk about cracking the gatekeeper, when I talk about cracking the gatekeeper, and this is important for anybody in outside sales, I don't care if you're an insurance producer or what you're selling. You need to understand it might be more than one trip in before you crack the gatekeeper.
Oh,
I mean, you're probably not going to go in the first time, or you may not go in the first time and get what you want. Now, as you practice this and you do it more and more, it's like anything else, man. Once you get the reps, you get much better at it. But, you know, it goes back to the guy that we had that, you know, I did marketing drops with him, thought we had an awesome day, like, mm-hmm. 6, 7 out of 10 would be clients within a year. And the dude's like, well, if you say so. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I've been doing this a long time. Those were all great.
You got to massage it a little bit. Yeah, it's not, I mean.
Marketing, you know, drops.
How many times have you said, like, if you go in and you meet with the decision maker, like, immediately, like, there's probably something wrong.
Right. Like, and that should not be what you expect. But where I was going with that is, you know, this guy was doing the marketing drop, making one phone call and the automated email, and if they didn't reply to the email and they didn't reply to the phone call or answer the phone, he was done.
Right.
Like, he's out, right?
So especially, you know, the businesses that we're, the middle market stuff that we're going after, that's not going to be the case. Like, we're going to have to, you know, do multiple touches. I mean, there was times, even when I was selling office supplies, which is a commodity, it's a price-driven you know, product. Like, if we could save them money, they were going to buy it, type of thing. But, like, even on that, there was times where I would have to go back to a business 10 times before I ended up selling to them. you know, over the course of a few weeks or a few months or whatever. And I mean, you know, in the middle market stuff that we're going after, you can multiply that out. Like, you know, it's going to, it shouldn't be a super quick process like that. Again, unless something is wrong internally there.
Yeah, there was a guy, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. He works for Zeno Office Solutions selling copiers.
Okay.
And I don't remember if he's a copier warrior, a copier ninja, or whatever that is. It's really irrelevant what he titled himself, because it was kind of hokey
stupid.
What he
sure.
titled himself.
Yeah.
But he actually did have a pretty cool slash hokey idea that he used, and he had like these bricks made out of
is
the
this somebody
stress ball
that just,
material.
Like, walked into your office or something, or we're, like we're,
no, I've we're, seen him online. Ryan Hanley had Josh Braun on his podcast, and they talked about it on that episode.
Got it.
But this guy had these like bricks with his. It was basically like his business card with information on it. And his whole thing was he'd walk in and they're like, you know, he's trying to break the ice and they wouldn't let him. And he would hand him one of these and he said, well, I brought you this so that the next time you're upset with your copy maker, you can throw your copier, you can throw a brick at it. And it's got his contact info on there. And then so then his thing was, how many times have you thrown the brick? How many, you know, and all of that. But if you can think of stuff like that, I mean, that's
right.
huge.
And it is, again, is that cheesy and hokey?
Like, I don't know.
Absolutely. But
yeah, I don't know how you would translate that to what we do, but I still thought it was a pretty
yeah.
And by the way, number one sales guy in the entire company.
Well, yeah, I mean, who else is doing that? Like, I mean, you know, there could be three or four copy guys that walk into somebody's business, but they're going to remember the dude who brought them a brick to bash their freaking copier and go full Office Space on them.
Yeah, you know who calls on me? The water remediation people. Like, all the people that
like,
are out
like
there
Culligan
for
Man?
Disaster recovery.
Oh, okay.
No, water remediation, like the, no, not the Culligan Man. Everybody knows you say, hey, Culligan Man, and he just shows up. No, like it's the people that go in for like disaster recovery and all of that, like your okay. boy Dumas.
Yeah, I just talked to them yesterday, actually, which we need, oh, thank you for reminding me. We need to talk about that offline here once we're done. But yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's something that you have to practice, and like it's not going to feel natural until you've done it 100 times or however many times. Like it's you could go out and do drops for a week, and you walk in and you just still feel weird about it. But I mean, you just have to keep doing it over and over again, and it'll become easier. You'll get into a flow, get into a rhythm, and there'll be the person here or there that kind of throws you off a little bit. But most of the time, it's going to be smooth. You're going to walk in. You're going to if you can at least get them to smile. That's the key. That's where you start. That's where you can, you know, get in from there. So if you can do that, you're good.
You know, the other thing too, and this is what I had alluded to earlier, regarding stuff from Never Split the Difference, which you still haven't read because I haven't given it to you a year and a half later. But is mirroring, right? So when you just
yes.
repeat again, I call that pulling the Duran, because he does that literally all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Like your success, I don't have an exact statistic and I'm not going to slap the old 67% on this, but you know, it's amazing. And I know it's true that the longer you can keep the conversation going, the better the chances you have of getting what you want done or making forward progress in that conversation. And mirroring is an easy way. Listen, you can be dumb as a stump and walk into an office, and if all you do is repeat the last three or four words that the person says to you, you're going to prolong the conversation and gain a ton of information from it, right?
Yeah, because when you do that, like sometimes they keep talking and will start elaborating on whatever it is. Like if you're like,
right,
you know, oh, okay, they'll be back tomorrow, and then you know they're like, yeah, well, you know, they've been on vacation for, you know, the past week or so. So tomorrow they're going to be, you know, a little bit backed up, but I would try, you know, maybe at the end of the week. Oh, cool. Where'd they go to you know, where were they on vacation? Like that stuff that you
right.
store so that when you come back and talk to that person, you'd be like, hey, I was.
Say, hey, how was Cancun or whatever?
Right. Exactly. So like little things like that are huge, but you're right. It prolongs
the conversation.
Yeah,
but I mean, think about this. What if it's, Yeah. What if it's not the gatekeeper? What if it's like you're walking into an auto shop who doesn't have a gatekeeper and it's actually the business owner? You know they're busy, right?
Yeah.
They're working the desk because they don't have somebody there to be a service writer for them. But you go in, you introduce yourself, and it's like, hey, I'm David from Florida Risk. I just wanted to touch base. I know your renewal's coming up. Probably a lot of people asking to meet. Was really hoping to get the opportunity to talk to you, you know, about your upcoming insurance renewal. Ugh. I don't have time for that, man. You people come in here, you throw things at me at the last minute. You're all the same. We're all the same. Yeah, I mean, all you want to do is sell me something, and I don't have time. You know, I'm extremely busy. I'm putting out a million fires. A million fires? Yeah, I'm the HR guy. I run the shop. Sometimes I'm turning a wrench. You know, half the time I don't even know what it is I'm buying. I just have to have it to be in business. Hold on. You don't know what you're buying?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, nobody ever explains it to me. It's always a last-minute process. And then you stop because you know you get to a point where you can throw the hook. And it's, wow, it sounds like you are really busy and you're buying something that you don't even understand. Would it be ridiculous for me to say that in 30 minutes of me not trying to sell you anything, I would be willing to come in and say, hey, look, here's what you got. Here's what you need. And if you decide you like what I have to say, you can tell me if you want me to fix the problems or if you want me to help you going forward. Because I can assure you that the first thing you said about us all being the same couldn't be further from the truth. But I know you're busy and I want to respect your time. But I do feel like I can help you solve the problem of you not knowing what you have and maybe freeing up some time for you to spend on things that make you money. Boom,
perfect.
You're done, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, exactly your point, just repeating those things, what I was trying to say is it makes them elaborate on whatever it was that they were trying to get you out the door with. And then that, you know, again, prolonging that conversation is only going to be beneficial to you.
Yeah, I do it with Grayson all the time. We were sitting at dinner and he said, hey, I want to go spend, it's like a weeknight, and I knew he had to work at like 7 o'clock the next morning. He's like, hey, I want to go spend the night at a friend's house tonight. Spend the night at a friend's house tonight? He's like, yeah, you know, so-and-so wants me to go over there. We're going to go swimming and hang out for a little bit. Hang out for a little bit? And I mean, he's like basically telling me everything. I'm like, and at the time, and then we get to the end. I've done nothing but mirror him for like 2 or 3 minutes. He's like, probably not a very good idea, is it? I said, no, I'm glad that we were able to work through that. And I never, like, it was just me.
There's nothing
mirroring
that you ever really said.
Time.
Yeah, it just started to get them.
But
to
that's
think,
the
so.
Whole thing, man.
Yeah.
Anybody can go out and mirror people. Period. Mm-hmm. That's it. You don't have to have any special skill set. You don't have to be overly intelligent. Now, you do need to understand that at some point in that process, you're going to have the opportunity to get what you want from them, and you need to recognize that. But you know, you're going to have to get that from experience. I mean, like, I've never done that. And somebody says, stop copying me. And I mean,
yeah, right.
Like, that's what Ethan and Caroline would do. Like, I mean, if you think about it, we've been mirroring people since kindergarten, right? I mean,
pretty much. Yeah. But it applies and people don't think about it. People are always thinking, oh, I got to use this crazy sales tactic or, you know, do some Jedi mind tricks to, you know, to be really, I can't think of the word right now, but like, you know,
what would have happened?
Huh?
Yeah. What would have happened if they would have mirrored Obi-Wan Kenobi when he tried to use the Jedi mind trick of these are not the droids you're looking for? Not the droids we're looking for? That would be fantastic. I should do a YouTube video. We should get stormtrooper costumes and dress up and do that. That would be absolutely outstanding.
It would be good. But yeah, I mean, I think that's good. I don't know how much else I have to add to that. I mean, you got to go in, you got to smile, you got to ice break, know the person's name, write all this stuff down too. Like, people try to just remember it, and I don't know. I mean, you have a pretty good memory, but like, when I would go in and talk to people, I would like grab their business card and jot all this stuff down on the back of it while I'm standing there talking to them. You know, it's not weird. Like, it shows them that you truly are, you know, for real, and you're paying attention and you're serious about getting in touch with this person.
Well, the other thing too, is it works on the phones. So I think pretty much almost every agency out there has VoIP at this point, right? So if you're a producer and you're making calls from your cell phone and you're not having those recorded, you're missing out. I really think that if you're doing this on the phone, you should go back and listen to your calls so that you can hear what, you know, what worked, what didn't work, where, you know, where you may have missed an opportunity or whatever else. So listen, people, all we can do is give you the tools. You still have to figure out how to use them. If you can fog a mirror, you can mirror and just figure out how to make people smile. Figure out how to make their day. Listen, you know what we do? We walk in with blue and gold gummy bears. Who is not going to love blue and gold gummy bears except when they're orange? I mean, like they are now.
Yeah.
Probably going to have to re-up the gummy bear stash, but
probably
been a little while since we've used them. But, you know, and, you know, I've got like 70 boxes of Girl Scout cookies here that expired 6 months ago. Nothing wrong with those, by the way. Nothing wrong. They're not stale. They're wrapped on the inside. So there's no way. They just, I don't know. I'm not eating them. I can tell you that.
Yeah,
so anyhow, people, we're going
to
talk to you about drops on the next episode, but we gave you plenty to chew on here. All you got to do is trust it, man. Trust it. Try it one time. See if it works for you, and you're going to be amazed. Everybody have a good weekend. See ya.
Been listening to Power Producers Shop Talk. You can follow us at the Power Producers Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want to take your game to the next level, check out our commercial insurance training course at killingcommercial.com or visit Amazon to pick up a copy of our international best-selling book, The Extra 2 Minutes.